Today is we're going to talk about a proper response to the word. Now we talked about the children of Israel going back and reestablishing the true worship and putting God back on the throne, and you know they took care of all their genealogical things. They got all this stuff in order. They made sure the priests were really priests and that they hadn't, you know, they hadn't messed up their lineage. And I mean, they were trying to get everything in order and back on track, because they recognized that they had messed everything up so badly that it just needed to be like totally straightened out. And we have talked about the fact that that's sort of like us in our Christian experience. We come to the Lord and we get totally straightened out. Everything gets in alignment with Him. And then we begin to learn about worship, and we begin to build a dwelling place for God in our hearts so that He can come and live inside of us and fill us and be part of our lives every day, all day long. And that, you know, we're talking about the temple being built, because we are the temple of the Lord. And now, the temple's built in Ezra 7, verse 10. It says, well, by the way, if you read the first of that chapter, it's talking about Ezra, and it goes through this long lineage. I mean, all the way back, all the different priests in his lineage, all the way back to Aaron, who was the original priest. And it says, this Ezra is the one that came to Jerusalem. And in verse 10, it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, or to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So Ezra had set his heart to seek or study the word. And we need to do the same thing. We need to set our hearts, and not just, you know, it's not just something you do along with everything else you do. I mean, it needs to be a priority. You need to have a response to the Word of God that is proper, because there's all kinds of things in life that you can invest yourself in. There's all kinds of things in life that you can hang on to or be part of. But the Word of God is so critical and important that we need to understand it. I mean, we need to set our heart for the Word of God, that it has a high priority. It's not just something you read when you get a chance, you know, maybe get it and dust off and look at it, read a few verses. Or maybe when you're going through a hard time, you know, wow, this is hard. Well, maybe I better read the Bible and see if I can find a verse that'll encourage me. I mean, it's way more than that. We're talking about investing yourself. I mean, determining that God's Word is so important that you set your heart towards seeking and studying and learning, so that you can understand what He says about life. It's always had great significance. You go back to the very beginning in Genesis 1. God said, let there be light. That's His word, let there be light. He spoke it into existence. His word is very significant. You go on down and all through the creation, everything He created, He spoke it into existence. Then you go to chapter 3, and Adam and Eve are in the garden, and they sin. And it says in verse 8, I think it's verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called for Adam and said to him, where are you? When I was young, I used to think it was, where are you? Because they sinned. But as I've gotten older, I think I've determined that God is really saying, where are you? I'm looking for you. Man, I am missing you. I want to fellowship with you. Where are you? And Adam said, well, we heard your voice and we hid. Heard your voice and we hid. God's voice, God's word is significant. It always has been, all throughout Scripture. What God says is so important. We need to get tuned into that and not on all the other voices, not all the other stuff that is thrown at us all the time. And there are lots of other things that are being thrown at us. There's other voices all day long, every day. You've got all kinds of things that you're having to consider. Either you receive or you reject, you believe or you refuse. I mean, those are all decisions you're making every day, all day long. The word established the patriarchs. He repeated his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, you know, I'm going to make this covenant with you, and you're going to be my people. I'm going to reveal myself to you and through you to the entire world, and everything is going to be changed eternally because of this relationship that I'm establishing with you. And it was all based on God's word. God said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make you a nation like no other nation, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and everybody else is going to look, and they're going to say, whoa, look at that. Wow, I've never seen anything like that. A nation who has God as a personal relationship saying, you are my people, and I am your God. That's pretty cool. The word reveals the Father. In Exodus 33, and you can start and read all the way through chapter 34, Moses, you know, they just got through. I mean, it's crazy. It's hard to even imagine, but they have this great covenant. You know, God says, I'm going to do all this for you. They say, yeah, we're in. We agree. Moses goes up on the mountain. 40 days, he's up there meeting with God, getting the Ten Commandments, and the people down below is like, well, we don't know where Moses is, so let's just make a golden calf. Isn't that what we do sometimes? You know, we're waiting. We're waiting, and then when it doesn't happen, it's like, well, let's just grab something up and do something different. I'm just saying. I'll wait for you. Yes, I'll wait for you. You know, there is something about waiting on the Lord instead of getting out ahead of him. Anyway, Moses, he said, Lord, you know, we've messed up. And he said, I know you're going to take care of us. But he said, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want you to reveal your, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And you can read all this, but basically, God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in this hole in the rocks here, and I'm going to come, I'm going to pass before you, and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord over you, and I'm going to say, the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord, he is merciful to a thousand generations, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass before you. That's who God is. And the Word of God reveals the Father to us. It reveals the goodness of God. It reveals who he really is. And see, some of us, we've got that, where are you mentality of God. And God wants us to see him as the God who loves us and wants to search for us and find us when we've messed up. And instead of catching us and kicking us, he wants to catch us and pick us up and love us. That's who God is. That's who the Father is. We need to see that. When you read the Word, you will see that. Even in the Old Covenant, even among all that kill every one of them business, God is saying it's because I love my people and I want my people to be whole. I want my people to be separated from all that other stuff because I want them to be happy and whole. All that stuff that God says to us, it's not because he's some arbitrary being that's wanting to make us obey. It's because it's for our benefit. Amen. He wants us to be whole and happy and blessed. It's for our good. Everything God does is for our good. John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And that's because they were seeing Jesus. He was like the Father. In John 15, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. The Word of God reveals the Father. And Jesus said, all the things that I've been hearing from the Father, I've made known to you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God looks like? Read about the life of Jesus, because it reveals the Father. Hebrews 1 said, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus was the very express image of the Father. You look at Jesus, you see the Father. And it says that he upholds all things by the rhema word, the revealed word of his dunamis power. So God spoke everything into existence. He framed the world to set them in order with his word. He said, let there be day and night. Let there be sun, moon, stars. Let there be seasons. He put all the planets and everything and set it in order. And it's still in order. Even with all the talk about global warming and climate business, God still has everything in order because he set that in order with his word. And we just read that he keeps everything in order by the power of his word. We can count on God's word. He said, look, you just go out there and look every day. The sun rises over here, it sets over there. It's going to be like that every day from now on. And just like that sun rises and sets, you can count on my covenant with you never failing, never coming to an end. My word is true, and it will always be true. Amen. The word shows us the path of life. Psalm 16 says, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I've got a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I don't have to even be thinking about it. I can be asleep and my heart can instruct me about God because he's so good. God wants to reveal himself to us. Hallelujah. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Word of God reveals all that to us. The Word of God tells us what God has in store for us. We are his inheritance. He says, I have chosen you, and it's not because you're so good-looking, Mitch. It's not because you're so smart. It's not because you're so cool. It's not because you're so many. It's not because of anything except that I love you. Isn't it good to be loved? Yeah, I tell you what, you can do a lot of things when you're loved. Because when you're loved, you don't have to worry about it if you mess up a little bit. When you're loved, you can still, you can just go on out there and just go for it. And if you stub your toe and fall on your face, there's someone there to say, it's okay, brother, we love you. Get up. Get up. You know, it's good to be loved. And God loves us. And he has revealed himself to us in that way. He wants to bless us. He wants to do good for us and in us and through us all the time. God is out for our good. Took me a lot of years to figure that out. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't really know it like I know it now. Because I had that voice, where are you, going all the time in the back of my mind. And even though I knew God was good, I heard it through that template. We need to get over that because God wants us to hear the love. He is out for our good. He's out for our good all the time. Ezra set his heart to do the word. You know, you could talk about a bajillion different things. I just picked a few. They just came to me. Maybe it was the Lord. Confession is part of what the word tells us to do. We are all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We got problems. We're broken. You know, even if you've been saved, even if you've been filled with the Spirit, even if you've been through cleansing streams, you've done all the things you know to do, we still have problems. And you've all heard the little onion story, you know, and I'm not going to bore you with it, but just, you know, it goes on and on and on. Our problems keep going. We don't ever get finished. Until we're in glory, we're going to be being changed and transformed from glory to glory every day as we make ourselves available to Him. Now, if you pull back, then you're not going to be changed. But if you keep presenting yourself, He'll change you from glory to glory to glory. 1 John says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's really significant because we all mess up. You know, there's sin, which is just literally it's missing the mark. You're trying to do right, but you stub your toe, you mess up. And then there's transgression, which is more like lawlessness, where you just, I've willfully disobeyed. I knew it really wasn't right before I did it, but I did it anyway, because I just wanted to do it. You know, at that moment, that's what I wanted to do. And then there's iniquities, which are, it's more like a bent. It's a pattern or a habit or a stronghold in our life. It's a way that maybe we developed that from birth. Maybe it was passed down through our parents. Maybe we developed that from when we were children and someone really wounded us, said something hurtful to us. You know, I could tell you all kinds of stories about what my brother did to me when I was a kid that hurt me, but he's made up for it pretty good in the latter years. But, you know, we're all products of our environment. Let's just face it. You experience things in life, and some of them are good, some of them are not so good. They leave a mark on us, and when those marks are on us, it makes us respond to life with a different perspective than God would like for us to have. And so I want to respond to circumstances and people out of my redeemed nature, not out of my old fleshly nature. But it's an ongoing battle. And Mitch talked about that last night at the men's meeting. It was really good, talking about there's a struggle going on. We got that stuff in us, but there's a way out. God has made a way. He's broken the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us. And we have the ability through renewing our minds and through the Holy Spirit working in us, we have the ability to not just keep on doing that same stuff. We can break out of those habits and patterns. Addicts, some people can get set free by, you know, by going to programs and doing all that they say, but out of all the programs, Teen Challenge had like a 75 or 80% long-term success rate, and it's because they were being set free by the power of God, and they were changed in their spirit and soul, not just learning a different behavior pattern. Everything that you can learn, I mean, it may be successful for a time being, but you're going to come to a point where you stub your toe and you just don't get back upright. But in the Lord, He's got a different game plan. Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Now, Ezra, you know, he set his heart to study and know the Word, to do the Word, and to teach the Word. And so he comes to Jerusalem to show everybody how they're supposed to worship in truth and the way that God intended, and how they're supposed to obey the Word of God, and so that they would know the Word of God. And so when he gets there, you know, everything's kind of looking pretty good, and then it says, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Perizzites and all those other ites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives, and God told them specifically, He said, when you go to the promised land, do not intermarry with those people because they worship other gods and they're going to distract you and it's going to be an ongoing problem. Don't do it. But they did it. And then all these years, and then they got carried off into captivity in Babylon. They came back and rebuilding. And what did they do? They came right back and they started remarrying into all those ites again. For crying out loud, figure it out, dude. So Ezra, when he heard this, it says, so when I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe. plucked out some of my hair, ouch, and then my beard, and I sat down astonished. And he sat down astonished. I've come here to teach them your word and to get everything in alignment. And here they are doing it again. All the 70 years we've been in captivity. We've been slaves. We lost everything because of what we did. And now they're doing it again. Confession is a good thing. And it goes on and it talks about it. And I'm going to read it. And everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads. Our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been very guilty. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation, as it is to this day. And now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded us by your servants the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the land, their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other with impurity. Now therefore do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. Never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you'd consumed us so that there'd be no remnant or survivor? Oh, Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant, as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, though no one can stand before you because of this. And I love what he says. He's going through all this and he says, but yet you have punished us less than we deserve. You've punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Ezra understood the mercy of God. He understood that God was not, he's not like our earthly father, that when you messed up, it was going to the woodshed. You know, you weren't going to talk him out of it. You weren't going to get mercy. And that business about, if you just tell me the truth, it'll be better. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes when you fess up, you get whooped pretty good. But when you fess up with God, there is no whooping. Because God forgives. We present ourselves, and what God says is, all I see is the blood of Jesus. That's covering up all that sin. It's covering up all those things that you're talking about. Huh, I can't see those things. Isn't that good? I'm glad to know that the Father loves us with that kind of love, that he made a way that we can know him. And we don't have to grovel. We don't have to beg. We don't have to plead. We don't have to go through all the animal sacrifices and all the things. You know, every other religion in the world, it's all about what you do to earn something. And with the Father, it's all about what he's done to give to you. That's the difference. We don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. Don't even try. But he's made a way that it's, and it's a free gift, a free way. Hallelujah. Worship. That's one of the things that the Word reveals to us. We need to set our hearts on the Word of God, to do the Word of God. And doing the Word, part of it is worshiping. Jesus said in John 4, he's talking to the woman at the well, and he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." That was one of the things that was going on in the days of Ezra. There were some other people that had Jewish heritage, but they were intermarried and they were in the area and they were wanting to get in on all this, and they were saying, we can help, we can worship, and we can help build a temple, and we've had a place over here where we've been worshiping all these years, and it's okay, we're trying to do just like you are. But the people of God said, no, we're not going down that path again. We're going to stay right, we're going to obey God, we're going to do what he says. And worship comes from our heart. It's not from a place. I mean, you can worship from a place, but that's not what worship is. I mean, it's from your heart. And if it's not from your heart, then you're just going through motions. Sorry. And you can be a great singer, a great musician. You can be a great singer and dancer, and you can jump and shout and clap and do all the things you want to do. But if that's not your heart, then you're just making a lot of noise. And it may be really good sounding noise, and you may look real excited and be happy, but if it's not from your heart, that's not worship. Because worship is from your heart. It's in spirit and in truth. That's what the Father is looking for. When you do the word, you will obey. In Jeremiah 7, it says, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you." When I'm delivering you and I'm setting everything up and showing you how it's going to be, this walk with me, I didn't say, do all these sacrifices. I said, obey my voice. That's what God is still saying to us. That's all he's ever said. In the garden, in the days of Noah, to the patriarchs, to King Saul, that's all he's ever said, obey my voice. It's real simple. Not so easy to do sometimes, but it's real. I mean, it's not all that complicated. Just obey my voice. But you got to know what his voice is. And the way we hear that the most is by reading the word, because it reveals the Father and what he said to us. John 8:17 is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. And then it goes on down a little further and says, "Then they said to him, 'Who are you?' And Jesus said to them, 'Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him.' They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him.' As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" If you want to do the word, you got to learn to start thinking the word too. You can't just be sort of familiar with it. I mean, it has to be part of your mind. Romans 12:1-2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world." Don't try to look like this world. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to get along. Go along to get along. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you begin to think the Word, you begin to know the Word, and it begins to be so much a part of your mind. You've meditated on it, you've read, you've studied, you've learned, you've memorized, you've meditated, and it becomes how you think. And so when someone says something to you that could be offensive, be at peace with all men as much as possible with you. I think I'll just let that slide. When someone says, "Wow, you're looking ugly today," you can just say, "Well, you know, all things are not profitable for me, but all things are good if I'm in the Lord, and I'm just going to keep on walking with the Lord. I can do all things because Christ strengthens me. I can forgive, I can bless, I can sing, I can shout, I can do all that." And you know, it's a choice. Every day, all day long, we got choices. And if you think the Word, you're thinking the Word, you begin to respond with the Word. Don't be angry. Don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. Don't covet. Love. Be patient, kind, gentle. All that is the Word. And when you begin to study the Word and think about the Word, and you're thinking about what it means to you, then every day, all day long, as situations come up, as people do things and say things, whether they're believers or unbelievers, or whether you're trying to help them or you're trying to not be offended by them, it's still the same thing. Think the Word. When you think the Word, you will speak the Word. Renew your mind. Let the Word of God renew your mind. And if you have an addiction or a problem, find a scripture that deals with it and just begin to quote that thing. Begin to think about that all the time. Begin to proclaim that over your life. And then when the temptation comes up, teach my song to rise to you. Man, I mean, you can begin to worship. You can begin to remind yourself of what God says. The devil says, "You're going to be like this from now on." God says, "I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. I have given you my Spirit." Hallelujah. Rivers of life can come out of your innermost being. That's the way we can respond to stuff. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Ezra set his heart to teach the Word. You got to read the Word if you're going to teach it. And I think I'm not going to read this whole passage, but in Nehemiah 8, 1 through 18, basically, they all gathered. They all gathered. Nehemiah, they built a platform, kind of like this, maybe taller. Nehemiah got up on it, and all the children of Israel gathered, and he read the Word of God to them for like hours, and they stood to hear the Word of God. And he read through the Word of God, and they heard it. And there were also, he had Levites and other people that were able to help explain it. They had understanding of the Scripture, and it says that they helped them to understand what was being read. It'd be almost like having someone, you know, scattered around in the whole congregation, and I read a Scripture and I say, "Okay, what that means is, you know, and God is saying He loves us and He's not mad at us. He wants to forgive us and bless us. That's what that means when He says, 'I'll give you my mercy for 1,000 generations.'" So they were understanding what God was saying. They were reading the Word. And all that time they were reading the Word, and they began to understand that they had fallen short. And when they understood that, then they began to think, "Oh man, you know, we're sinners." And it says they began to weep and they began to be upset. And that's when some of the leaders said, No. "This is not a day for weeping and mourning. This is a day for rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is your strength." Hallelujah. You've got the good news. Yeah, you're a sinner. Yeah, you've messed up. But the good news is you can be redeemed. Focus on what God is wanting to do, not what you did in the past. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Study the Word. 2 Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm not talking about something funky about, you know, doing something weird, rightly dividing. I'm just saying, you know, just get into the Word and understand what it says to you. God wants to reveal Himself through His Word. You got to study the Word. You got to get into it and begin to understand what He is saying to you. And when you do, then you won't be ashamed. When you come up against situations in life, you'll be able to react with the Word. You won't be reacting out of your brokenness and out of your problems, but you'll be acting out of the word that's in you. Teach the word. 2 Timothy, again, this is Paul talking to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. And that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now, I read all that to you because I want you to understand it is our responsibility, all of us, to learn the word, teach the word, share the word. You ought to be exhorting people all day long with the word of God. When someone, you know, you see someone, they say, oh man, what a bad day I'm having. Come up with a word from God that'll encourage them, cause them to think differently. You ever need a good word? We all need a good word from time to time. So don't just act like nothing matters. Set your heart on the word of God and begin to study and learn so that you can do the things that you're supposed to do with the word of God. Paul said, if I don't preach the gospel, woe is me. I mean, I'm in deep trouble because I've been called to do this and I'm going to do it. Jeremiah said, man, I'm going through some hard times. I'm not going to make mention of him anymore. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart. It was like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not hold it back anymore. So I just let it out. I got a fire in my bones, and I'm going to let it out. Every day, all day long, we need to have a fire that's coming out of us. Hallelujah. It'll change people. The word of God is alive and powerful. It'll change people. We got to share it. Worship team, y'all can come back. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how's it going to be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do you put a lamp under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, you know, we've got a choice every day. We can walk in the Word of God, or we can walk in the ways of the world. The word that the world puts on you. You know, and there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to destruction and death. There's only one way that leads to life. That is Jesus. He is the living word. He is the living logos, the very expression of who God is. And with him in your heart and what he says in your mind, you can do all things that he's called you to do. Set your heart to study the word. Set your heart to do the word. Set your heart to teach and preach the word. You don't have to be a preacher, but you can share God's word. All of us can do that. Amen? You can learn one scripture, Jesus wept, and you could preach a whole message on those two words. Jesus wept because of the sin of people that he wanted to forgive. That's why Jesus wept. That's the simplest verse in the whole Bible, and yet it's so profound. God's word is alive and powerful. We need to grab a hold on and let it change us. Amen? Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that you seal this in our heart, that we would be changed from the inside out, Lord, that we would set our hearts to study your word, to do your word, and to share your word. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's stand and worship. My Jesus, there's no
like you. Jesus, my Jesus, no other love will do. I would have never known precious love could be my own. I could never walk away from the grace and mercy you have shown. And I know you will always be with me through every storm. So let me fall.
Kind of a need this morning, you like special prayer, we always make the altars open. If you maybe you want to come get right with God, maybe you got something going on, you know you just need to make a confession. You need to say, Lord, I haven't been pursuing your word like I need to, but I want to start today. Whatever it might be, if you want special prayer, you want someone to agree with you, someone will meet you here. Let's continue to worship, because God is speaking to us right now. He is sealing his word in our hearts, and this is a day that we are all going to be changed. I'm telling you, today is a day that you're going to be changed if you'll receive what God says. Not what I've said, but what God says. Let's worship. Thank you.
How sweet the sound they sing of a wretch like me.
Hallelujah. That's the biggest miracle of all, folks.
Yes.
We were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we can see.
Yes.
Sometimes I may stumble. Sometimes I may not know where I'm going, but I am found, and I'm not blind anymore. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his perfect peace. Go and be blessed. Enjoy some fellowship. And thank you so much for coming. I feel sorry for all those poor people that didn't come this morning because they missed out. Amen? All right. God bless you.